Moving on to our bloggers roundtable, we'll take another look at presidential politics, plus the rebirth of black radio and the changing face of Harlem. With us today, Valencia Rohner. She runs the blog Diary of a Content Black Woman. She also hosts the internet show The Content Black Woman Show on Blog Talk Radio, plus former Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Kevin Ross. He blogs at Three Brothers and a Sister and hosts The Kevin Ross Show also on Blog Talk Radio. And Sean Williams, who publishes the blog Dallas South. Hi, folks.
Hi.
Good morning.
So let's take a quick look at the presidential race. Senator Hillary Clinton took the primary, but she's still behind in the race for delegates. Total states won and money raised. She's pledged to hang in and fight on. Valencia, is that a good idea for her and for the Democratic Party?
I think it's a good idea for her to stay in the race. She has every right to. I have a blog post that some may deem a little controversial this morning entitled The Obama Campaign, The Ultimate Metaphor for Being Black in America, because I think that she did use a kitchen sink strategy, and the way she won basically is tantamount to the old style of politics. And so I have no objection to her staying in the race.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by her strategy?
The kitchen sink strategy. Mm-hmm. Well, the strategy in which says, you know, we're not getting any traction as we stay and stick with the issues at hand. And so since that's the case, we're going to capitalize upon all these other controversies that kind of put big question mark over the likes of a Barack Obama, who seems to just have this incredible appeal that just shows no way of letting up with regards to momentum. And so when you are desperate, you do desperate things. And I think her win is a response to that. In addition, independents were not allowed to vote in yesterday's Pennsylvania primary, which also shows an indication that yesterday's primary was not like many of the others that I think Barack would have done better in if independents were allowed to vote. So,
Kevin, do you think there's some hint that Senator Obama might be going a little more critical of Senator Clinton? Last time you were on, you made some highly controversial remarks on that. You don't need to repeat them. But do you think that he needs to go more negative?
Well, you know, Farai, what's interesting, I did make comments about how he should be aggressive with her. And what's funny about that, I feel totally redeemed because every aspect of her campaign talks about her being a scrappy fighter and she's rocky. And so when I said, you know, he needs to knock her block off in terms of that Rock'em Sock'em analogy, what are we seeing? We're seeing them promote themselves on WWE, and you see people, Saturday Night Live spoofs and so forth, saying, let's really see them fight. And it's amazing to me how, you know, she's gone from being this Wellesley elitist to all of a sudden she's a combination of Annie Oakley, Tyler Perry's Madea, and Sacagawea, you know, all in one swoop. And I'm sitting here going, how is it that Barack Obama is the elitist? So when I look at what's going on with this campaign, it's more fascinating to me than John Adams on HBO. Because I'm looking at this going, okay, is it me? And I'm a Republican looking at John McCain and Selma. Barack Obama's the elitist. And Hillary's doing shots. None of this is making sense to me, and yet I'm fascinated. I can't stop watching.
It'll make for a good TV movie. Politics in about 5 years.
Politics has become the new sexy. If you're not talking about politics, you know, the whole gangster rap, hip hop, yo, what's up? Everyone is like, so what do you really think about that immigration, you know, fence that's not being built? They are really making issues of substance become the new black. Pardon the pun.
Well, Sean, speaking of issues of substance, you're blogging about last week's debate between Senators Clinton and Obama. And there was a question, a videotape question from a Pennsylvania woman about a flag lapel pin. It was criticized by some folks as being not of substance, being, you know, a distraction or fluff. What are you talking about on your blog?
Well, what we found is that particular question really came from an interview that had been played, you know, a couple of weeks earlier. So I believe that the moderators wanted to hedge the issue, so they went out and found someone else to bring the question so that they wouldn't have to do it. So I don't think that was a question that was on the mind of Pennsylvania voters. It was something that they wanted to talk about. And as part of the gutter politics, and, you know, the New York Times called it the low road to victory that Hillary Clinton took. It seems like everyone's trying to go down every road except the road of how will we make the country better.
And so you think the question was essentially manipulative on the part of the network?
Yeah, I definitely believe that the network wanted to bring the issue in and felt that it would be easier for them to do so if they used a video clip of someone else bridging the question instead of George Stephanopoulos doing it.
All right. Well, I want to move on to a topic that is near and dear to many folks on our panel. It's about black radio during the election. So a lot of bloggers are writing that Barack Obama's campaign has put black radio back into a spotlight, particularly with new listeners who may not have listened before. You've got personalities like Tom Joyner, Michael Basedon, Bev Smith reaching new audiences. You're seeing a lot more black faces on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. And then you also have this phenomenon of internet radio. Kevin First and then Valencia, you guys both have shows on Blog Talk Radio. What exactly is it, and what kind of audiences are you trying to reach?
Oh, my God. I actually have to give kudos to Valencia because I blog over three brothers and a sister. Well, Valencia is the sister of three brothers and a sister. And she started saying, you know what, I'm going to try this social networking site, Blog Talk Radio. And because I used to do talk radio here in Los Angeles on another state, on an AM talk station, I said, well, I've already done it. I already know what it's like. And so you do it. I became her co-host. And then after a while, I found myself going, I'm going to give this a try. And it is amazing. I mean, right now, I'm the number one current event show. Valencia has the number two. We are just my last show alone. I had 20,000 downloads. And what I'm finding is on a blog talk radio, anyone can be a host. And so when you have African-Americans who are blogging, who are talking about these issues, they are now saying, you know what? I don't need to wait for a Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Larry Elders. I can have my own interaction and spin it my way. And what's amazing about that is we are now creating a community of folks who either are doing their own shows or they themselves just want to be able to have a different perspective other than what they're seeing in traditional media.
Do you feel like you have more control over the content, Valencia, in this form?
Oh, absolutely. I think Blog Talk Radio, created by Alan Levy, has been a great avenue because for years I was, and in some ways still am, a talk show radio junkie. I mean, and so after the whole Reagan era came along and Rush Limbaugh became on the scene, there became this whole issue of angry white man radio. And so while I have no problems with that perspective or that voice, there was clearly an imbalance of another perspective. And so while you've got the Michael Basedons and the Tom Joyners coming on board, Blog Talk Radio allows for other perspectives and people have more control to what they listen to and to really weigh in and have a voice in the broader discussion as it relates to the issues that concern us as Americans overall.
Well, guys, we're going to have to take a break, but I'd like you to stay with us. I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Let's continue with our bloggers roundtable. We've got Sean Williams, who publishes the blog Dallas South, Kevin Ross, who blogs at Three Brothers and a Sister, and Valencia Rohner of Diary of a Content Black Woman. So welcome back, guys. And Sean, I'm going to jump back into this whole conversation over black radio, really by going back to the more traditional black radio, people like Tom Joyner recently. You know, there's a lot of discussion of Tavis pulling away from his role at the Tom Joyner Show. But do you think that the momentum that black radio has built up over the course of this election will be sustained, particularly with people who, you know, have not been the traditional base, people who might be, for example, non-black listeners who are tuning in because they want this perspective at this time when a black man is one of the candidates for president?
Yeah, for I really think that this will be sustained because we've already seen it sustain itself. I think the black radio movement started at the same time as the black blogger movement. With when a 14-year-old in Paris, Texas, got 7 years in prison, and radio stations, personalities like Ricky Smiley in Dallas went out and protested. And from that, you moved to Michael Basedon, and who was awarded by Al Sharpton for his participation in the Gina Six movement. And so when we moved to the election, it was really an extension of a movement through black radio and black blogs that had already been progressing. And so really there was already an infrastructure in place for this black radio movement. So I think it will sustain itself because we've seen it for well over a year now, the same parties holding it together.
But Roy, if I can just jump in, though, here's the problem. Black radio is dying. When you look at the number of radio stations that typically do R&B and then they may have some social commentary either in the morning or maybe on a Saturday, you're seeing fewer and fewer of those media outlets. You know, I actually saw the article that Sean wrote was featured in the Philadelphia Tribune when it talked about Blogger Nation and it was speaking on the passion. I think you were talking about Shaquanda Cotton, Sean, and you were featured in that article, and I found it was really interesting because it was talking about the interactiveness that bloggers are having, and I see the internet as being a natural extension of that, because in Los Angeles, for instance, we had a major Radio 1 station that was sold to a group of Mormons. And now they're playing Bruce Springsteen, and I like Bruce Springsteen, but at the same time you don't necessarily have in all the different cities across the country black outlets that are really focused on the issues. And so I think between what's going on with black publications, because traditional media in terms of newspapers and magazines, that circulation's dwindling as well. So people like Sean out in Dallas and Valencia, who's doing her thing, and what we're doing over at Three Brothers and a Sister, that is going to be the media for African Americans globally to be more interactive and really get their perspectives out there.
But Valencia, there's still not the same profit motive in online, at least in most online. If you're TMZ.com, that's something else entirely. But, you know, in general, people are not going to make a huge fortune off of doing socially conscious commentary. So when you think about the impact of black radio, although it is definitely dwindling in terms of number of stations and ownership, isn't traditional media still going to be ahead for a while?
For a while, but you cannot deny the momentum that the internet is bringing right now. It was the internet, along with black radio, that brought to the attention the whole Gina Six thing. And major media tried to ignore it as long as they could, and then they could not deny it. And so the internet can be a social commentary, a function that's necessary to communicate views and points of views that hadn't gotten out prior to now. But it can also be a money-making entity. If you look at the Huffington Post, there is no reason why a conglomerate of African-American-related or issues-oriented sites cannot come together and have the same sort of potential profit impact as a site like that.
And
so,
speaking about that, you look at like Essence. Essence is completely redoing their sites to make it more interactive, to do television and content. You look at J.C. Watts, who's getting ready to start this network.
I want to ask you specifically, Kevin, about J.C. Watts. You're a Republican. He's a Republican. Mm-hmm. You're black. He's black. You're a man. He's a man. Anyway.
Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper, too?
Yeah, exactly. But aside from all that, he's starting this 24-hour news network. And first of all, do you know whether or not he plans to make it more ideologically based? Do you have any idea of how it's going to be? One person was joking and said that it was going to be B-Fox, Black Fox News.
Oh, no, Valencia, tell him what you were saying. She said it was going to be, UTV?
Don't tell that.
Uncle Tom Network.
Uh-oh.
She was like, it's going to be the Uncle Tom Network. And I'm sitting there as a Republican going, slow your roll, girlfriend.
But listen, I guess you're not going to be invited on
Blitz. I guess not.
It is inconceivable that you would have a 24-hour news channel that focuses on African Americans and not have all different perspectives. Because, it's interesting. My 10-year-old said to me yesterday, Daddy, are you only interested in voting for Barack Obama because he's black? And I was actually surprised that he asked me that. And I said, Barack Obama isn't the first African American who's run for president. And he was like, oh, I didn't know. So we had to have this conversation about Shirley Chisholm and Jesse and Al. And as I was having this conversation with him, I found myself thinking, see, this is why we need these outlets. And so I applaud my fellow Republican JC for stepping up, because what I think is going to happen, I'm going to be the first one saying, hey, you need to have Valencia and I as part of the commentators and Farai, because we love you and we love Nichelle Norris, who I was watching on Meet the Press this past Sunday. But it's interesting to have all those perspectives at one place, because TV1 and BET, they're so busy talking about slap a hoe on BET. That's just not part of the conversations that's taking place. And we want to see those conversations.
Again, Sean, though, when you come back to media economics, do you think that there is going to be a strong base, a strong enough base to carry a network like this? And who do you expect will tune in? Mainly black, because you have black networks that now have, majority white viewers. So do you think it's going to be a network with black people and a mixed audience, a network with black people on it and a majority black audience? Where's the revenue really going to come from?
The revenue is going to be driven by the content. And if they can get the best of the best to come in and be on the station, not just J.C. Watts, you have to get people like Roland Martin. You have to get the Farai Todays. You have to get everybody that is going to bring an a great perspective that mm-hmm. people will tune in to watch. And so you just can't say, okay, we have a black network and we're going to put some black people on and they're going to talk about black issues and expect it to sell. You're going to have to go out and get the best of the best. And you're going to have to get Republican views, independent views, Democratic views, but also tap into the blogging generation, the internet generation, and the Facebook generation. So, you know, there's a market for anything that you can get people to watch. And if you give a good content, people will tune in.
And I know someone that used to work at Ebony as a writer for a number of years. 25% of Ebony subscribers were white. And so when you look at the perspective, I mean, right now, the people that are coming on the Kevin Ross Show on Blog Talk Radio or coming to Three Brothers and a Sister, they're not necessarily African-Americans. They're not necessarily even African or even Americans. Mm-hmm. But what we are finding is they want to know that perspective. Because anytime you have a Barack Obama give a speech on race that actually had me to the point of tears, and then I turn on traditional AM talk radio, and it was as if we heard two different messages. And I found myself going, this is why we need these outlets. And ultimately, advertising dollars are going to propel that station like it's doing a number of internet and blog stations online right now.
Well, Kevin, Valencia, Sean, that's it for today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Sean Williams, who publishes the blog Dallas South. He was at Cake Mix Recording Studios in Dallas, Texas. Former Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Kevin Ross, who blogs at Three Brothers and a Sister, and Valencia Rohner of the blog Diary of a Content Black Woman. Both were here with me at our NPR West studios, and you can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation doesn't stop here. Our online series Speak Your Mind gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind.